Well, hello and welcome to our traditional service today, and particularly a welcome if you are watching online, wherever you're watching and wherever you're watching from. It's great to have you with us. Today we're going to be celebrating the third Sunday in Advent and continuing our theme of a season of hope at this time. So let's first of all pause, shall we, and just draw near to God. And leave behind the anxieties, the worries, the burdens that we've come with. And just draw near to Him right now. We come to light the Advent candles just to remind us of the hope that God brings, the light that He brings into the darkness. And join with me in these words. Into the darkness of our world, come, Lord Jesus. Into the darkness of our homes, come, Lord Jesus. Into the darkness of our hearts, come, Lord Jesus. And we sing or listen to the carol that came upon the midnight clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from hands, O gracious King. The world in stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er it Babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Sin and strife the world has suffered long, beneath the angels' strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man is not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever circling years shall come the time foretold. Shall over all the earth its ancient splendors ring, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing.
that carol reminds us that actually this Advent we don't just remember Jesus' first coming, but we remember Jesus' second coming, that one day the world will fully be at peace and a new heaven and a new earth will come and everything will be restored. But in the meantime, we have just come to confess where we've not lived in God's world as he would want us to. So let's say these words together as our confession today. Lord God, we praise you for sending light into this world. We confess that we live as though the light had never defeated darkness. We confess that we ignore the Saviour you sent to be among us and to live in us. We've kept the birth of your Son confined to the Christmas season and do not yearn for his coming each moment in our waiting hearts. Forgive us for not opening our eyes to Jesus. Prepare us for his return. Help us rejoice in the light so that your grace can illuminate the darkened places of our hearts. Amen. And Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins. Open our eyes to God's truth. Strengthen us to do God's will. And give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Darren, one of our readers, is going to come and read from Scripture and then reflect on these words from Micah.
The reading, short as it is, comes from Micah in the Old Testament prophets, Chapter 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. This is the word of the Lord. So our subject today is thinking of support in the midst of insecurity. And this is something that we're considering may be the case with regards to Joseph and Mary particularly when we think of them and the family at this time of year. Have you ever felt insecure in your life, in danger, fearful or uncertain? There have been maybe occasions when you don't know what the future presently was going to hold, where you're going, what you would be doing, and how disastrous the consequences may be. I'm sure that is true for some here, from what I know has happened in their lives. So let's consider the events around the birth of Jesus with Joseph and Mary as to how they felt in this very unusual time for them. The days in which our story develops may have been times when life was considerably simpler than our lives today. That is, they were less complicated, more time, slower. I don't know if you think that if we rode on a donkey everywhere, our lives would be slower probably. And we wouldn't get half as much done or feel the weight or pressure of doing things and going places. Just consider that difference. Well, although life was somewhat simpler in one sense, it was still not easy, and they still had their problems and their pressures. And we've read about the town of Bethlehem Ephrath, or Ephrata, in Judea. It was a small town at this particular time. It was a fortified town built fairly high up on the hills. And it was mainly a place where travellers passed through and rested for the night and moved on. It was also the place where David came from, he who was later promised to be king over Israel. God kept this promise, and it became true. And he was guided through life when he obeyed God's word. This is why Jesus was referred to as the Son of David. He was in the royal line, humanly speaking, of course. And strangely, the name of Bethlehem means house of bread. Yet underneath this place where Bethlehem was situated was an abundance of fresh water. And back in 300 BC, roughly speaking, this fresh water was piped into Jerusalem to support the inhabitants in that place. So actually it was a very important little town. And perhaps in one sense, the town should be called the place of water rather than the house of bread. And yet, I was just thinking about that, the sort of link up with Jesus himself, who said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I can give life which is eternal, as he said to the woman that he met at the well, the Samaritan woman. So there's quite a background to understanding Bethlehem and its situation. Thinking of Joseph and Mary living in Nazareth, circumstances around them were happening that could have made them feel really insecure. As we too may feel when events are affecting us outside of our daily routine of life. Different, unknown, deprived, unplanned. So what insecurity could they have felt during this upheaval in their lives? Well, here's a list of some of them that I thought we could look at just very briefly, and to see how God overruled in their situation. First of all, just picture that time of the visitation of the angel. The angel came to Mary and told Mary that she was going to have a child. And this child would be called Jesus. And he was the Son of God, the Christ child. How much of a shock was that to her? She had been preparing through her engagement or betrothal with Joseph for the life that was before them. They had plans, opportunities, and I'm sure many things were going round in their minds. Yet to hear the voice of God saying, you are going to have a child, not just a child, but the Holy Child, the Son of God, must have been absolutely astounding. I wonder how we would feel if that same thing was said to us. Secondly, there was shame that they felt. Now, shame's a word that we don't hear of much nowadays, and it doesn't figure much in people's thinking, because the very fact that Mary was pregnant, and soon it would be noticeable in time, people would wonder what had gone on. Did Joseph know about this? How long had this happened? Had they fallen out? Has she been with someone else? You can just imagine the tongues wagging as they saw this situation revealed before them. If we go back maybe 50, 60 years plus, as I'm sure we all can, then we begin to understand what shame was. To have a child out of wedlock, which was unheard of in many circumstances, and many people were upset when it happened and very critical, and there were great problems that arose very often from it. But things have changed so much throughout the generations that now that is no longer a shame. And people do what is right in their own eyes. And sadly, sometimes we might have been through that own situation when we didn't have any sort of Christian faith or belief in God and His holiness. But nevertheless, there would have been shame. And Mary and Joseph would have had to bear that problem and go through it. He was willing to put her away, but the angel said to Joseph, "No need to do that. I will take care of you and help you in this." Then there was uncertainty. Uncertainty of having to travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to the place where they had to register by the decree of the law. And journeying when being pregnant on a donkey over rough paths was not the easiest sort of thing. And of course there were robbers and people around who wanted to do wrong. And it could have been quite a difficult and concerned journey. And that was something else that could worry them. And then they had to find a place in Bethlehem when they got there. Where would they go? You can see there are possibilities of things mounting up in their minds. And then there was the surprise. The surprise that when they reached Bethlehem and they had the baby, Jesus, that angels, shepherds came to visit them. How did these shepherds know where they were and who this was? But an angel has spoken to them, as we know, and they were led to the place where Jesus was. Then there must have been inadequacy, because later on, when the child had grown a while, there were wise men who appeared and knocked at the door of their home and said, "We brought gifts to this baby king that has been born." Visited by the wise men from the east with expensive presents, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, given to them as pure, humble strangers. None knew the other, but they had seen the star, they had believed the importance of the occasion, and they had bothered to come for those many days of travel to the place where the king was born. And lastly, there would have been fear in their experience when the child had grown a little, and Herod was upset to hear that another king had been born, and he was out to find this king. And as we know, he decreed that all baby boys under a certain age should be put to death. And so Joseph and Mary had to flee into Egypt. Refugees at that stage of their life, trying to come to terms with having a royal baby, the Christ child, and now having to run for their lives into Egypt to avoid death. So how were they encouraged to keep going? Well, Mary had a cousin called Elizabeth, as we know, And she went to visit her in her pregnancy. And she too knew about this child that Mary was going to have. So not only Mary had a visitation, not only Joseph, but also Elizabeth. And you see how God confirmed what was going to happen to give her that faith to believe in God's word and to trust in him and to be aware of the honour that was bestowed upon her. And it encouraged her to rejoice. She said, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord God has said to her will be accomplished." No doubt about it. What God has said, he will do. Also the words of the dream to Joseph. He was told they were to call the baby Jesus. Just as the angel had said to Mary, call the baby Jesus. He was going to be the saviour of the world. Confirmation is something that God does for us very often in our lives. When we feel that we need to do something for him, or he points us in a certain direction and we're not sure, he will confirm that very often in certain ways. Some of them are strange ways. Some of them are quite positive. Some may be what we may read in God's word. Some may be what people say to us. Sometimes it can even happen by seeing something on a hoarding. And those words just sort of sink in and show us that God means what he says. I know in our own experience, if Ruth doesn't mind me saying, there have been times in her life and in our life together when she has had dreams about certain things, vivid dreams, of important things that would happen in her life, in our life. The first one was about the fact that she was carrying a child which happened to be dead. And secondly, the other thing was about the foretelling of her father's death. And they were extreme against other dreams. And what they did was prepare you for what was going to happen. So although they weren't good things, God still was in it. And God prepared in order to be aware of that situation in advance. God is so gracious. He works in that way. Dangers. God promised that all these things would happen. In Matthew 1, chapter 22, it will happen. It's a promise of God. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And the confirmation that shepherds knew about this birth beforehand, God was paving the way to prove to Joseph and Mary that all they'd been told was true. And then, as I've said, the visit of the wise men. How did they know about this child? They had seen a star. They had read in their manuals of what this may mean. And they were prepared to travel hundreds of miles across the Syrian desert to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. How wonderful to have someone like that turn up on your door with presents who you never knew. And yet they really believed it was the right thing to do. See, all the time God was confirming, and helping them to get rid of any insecurity, because he was making them known that he was in it. And God is good to us in that way. And he is able to prepare for us in advance and provide for our needs on the path of our lives. And they were even prepared to avoid the death of their child by doing as the wise men said to them, that Herod was after the life of the baby boys at that time. They were seeing God's care and guidance over them, and they were obedient to God's word. That's our part. We can hear something from God, but we may not be obedient to it. But if we are obedient, it makes all the difference. So, to sum up, the Lord helps those and help them through their insecurity because his word is true, as he cares about all we do. And he prepares the way ahead as we trust him, and often confirms the way as we proceed in it. That's what God does. He cares, he prepares, and he confirms. And God often uses the weak and the lowly of this life to carry out his work and his will. Who were they? Nobody in particular, as regards other people. But God chose them. God chose Mary to carry out his will, to use her body to hold the infant child, Jesus. And God will confirm to us in the way that we go, which is the way, what is the way, to trust in him and to know that his promises are true. May God help us all to get to know God better. And as we see the things happening in our lives which are strange and uncertain and difficult, and we don't see the way ahead, and we are blinded maybe by things we hear and see, may our trust be in God and his promises that he is there with us. And you will know his blessing and his comfort and his power and his love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We just say this prayer together in summary of our thoughts. Grant calmness and control of thought to those who are facing uncertainty and anxiety. Let their hearts stand fast, believing in the Lord. Be all things to all people, knowing each one and their petition, each house and its need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Darren. And I wonder whether we just pause for a moment before rushing on. And just perhaps in the quietness, bring any insecurities or fears or worries that you have for yourselves or maybe for others to God right now. And just offer them to him, and just know that the God who guided Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem throughout all the struggles that they had is here for you too. And then we'll just let the next carol play and just continue to reflect as we listen to In the Bleak Midwinter, that promise of God being at work in the difficulties and the darkness and the struggles. Before we lead into our prayers, I'm going to show you a short video story of Roger. Some of you may have seen it in the contemporary service from last week, but I wanted to show it to those in our traditional service too. And over the previous weeks, we've been working through the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and we've been encouraging us throughout Advent to continue to live in that place of just dwelling with Jesus and slowing down and finding space for silence and solitude and Sabbath. And here's Roger just sharing a little bit story with us of what it's meant to him and how he's tried to put that into practice.
The Elimination of Hurry book. How have I implemented some of the four suggested practices? I've started listening to Lectio 365 daily. Well, most days. It's helping me as I listen, as I concentrate, especially on the phrases at the beginning. As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to centre my scattered senses upon the presence of God. I try and take some time after this, maybe 5 minutes in silence. It's a period of just contemplation, of solitude, of being with God. Doesn't always work out. A few times I found myself asleep after this time. I've done a daily Bible reading for some years. It's the Encounter with God series from Scripture Union. Now, I've started to make some short notes, or maybe taking a line from the reading, and making this a focus of my morning dog walk around the common. So I talk to God about that line, maybe play the characters from the reading, and think, what does that mean for me today? This morning's reading was from Isaiah. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. You can imagine all sorts of things from that line, and it led me mostly to praising God. I've also been trying to develop a quieter Sunday. Maybe some reading, some relaxing, and recharging my batteries for the coming week. How has this all made a difference? If I think back just a few months ago, when I used to do the morning readings, the thought process may have been when I finished, okay, now let's get on with the rest of the day. I feel God is integrated much more in my day now. I spend more time with Him. I'm less stressful, and I'm sure that a more deeper relationship is developing with God. I feel what I have changed represents a few small steps forward. My mind still sometimes wanders all over the place during these times. But as Paul Hunt said a few weeks ago, I've turned up, Lord. Here I am.
Lovely to hear just the story of someone putting it into practice. And it is those little steps. And I encourage you to just take some little steps. Continue to take your little steps to be with God more this Advent. And just continuing this theme, we're going to say this affirmation of faith, which again talks about being unhurried and just dwelling in God's presence. So let's say this together. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the one who is full of patience, who is not afraid of silence, who does not need to fill each moment with activity and noise, the one who is beyond bluster and flurry, and who does not jostle for attention. We believe in God the Son, Saviour of creation, who slipped into Bethlehem one night, mostly unnoticed, who lived 30 years without headlines or hurry, who frequently took time alone with his patient father, who waited for the right time to become the suffering servant, who stood quietly before the noise of his accusers, whose silence overpowered their words, who died, then rose again on a quiet Sunday morning. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens, empowers, renews and refreshes, sometimes arriving with obvious power, sometimes with the quiet breath of a whisper. We believe in one God who patiently waits for us and who longs for us to do the same. And so let us pray. Wait for the Lord. Keep watch. Take heart. Holy God of Advent, you became weak so we could find strength in moments of heartbreak. You left the safety of heaven to wander the wilderness of the world, holding our hands when we feel hopeless. You set aside your glory to hold our pain so we might be healed, even when there seems to be no hope. You became one of us so we would never be alone in any moment, in any circumstances. Lord, in this season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, with burdens that steal our joy. Fill us with your light instead of our darkness. You sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. Help us clear the way in our hearts and our minds to concentrate on the true meaning of Christ's coming and not on the worldly things which so often block out our thoughts and worship of you. Lord God, we live in disturbing days across the world, a world filled with sadness and isolation, inequality and justice. But may this time of waiting, the time of a new awakening of thoughts, consideration, endeavour and action, make this time of waiting, the time of a new awakening of thoughts, consideration, endeavour and action by all leaders and all nations to bring about peace, freedom and understanding through the knowledge of the one true gift, Jesus, our Saviour. And Lord God, we thank you for the breakthrough this week with the COVID vaccine as it begins to be rolled out across our nation. And we pray for all those administering it, that it would all run smoothly, and those receiving it, that it would give them protection and us protection in the coming days. We thank you for this hope in the darkness. An almighty and merciful God, whose Son Jesus Christ understood people's fear and pain before they were aware of them, have mercy on those in need, for the hungry and the homeless, for those in refugee camps, hospitals and care homes, for those who are cared for in their own homes. Bless those who work in our communities to bring them relief. Inspire generosity and compassion in all our hearts at this time of goodwill to all men. And just in your hearts, maybe lift one or two people that you want to bring to mind and want to bring to God in this moment. Wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, keep watch, take heart. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit on us today. So, merciful Father, we accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come to the peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let's just share from a distance the peace with each other. And those of you at home, if you're watching with others, then share it with them. And if you're watching on your own, then receive the peace from all of us here. And so we come to gather around the Lord's table to just receive his nourishment afresh, his empowering afresh, and to remember his great sacrifice for us. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the words and I shall be healed. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As we did last week, I'll invite you, when you're ready, to come individually to the front where I will give you the wafers that are dipped into the wine. And do go back to your seats with your wafers. and bring and take your mask off and eat it then. So we say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Just before we say the final few words, just want to say a little bit about what's coming up this week, particularly with our Christmas events. The Malvern Nativity Trail, which is going to be great, which is going to be 9 different displays, which starts at All Saints, goes via the Witch School and then 7 gardens, until finishing with our stable outside here at St Andrews. That opens on Saturday. I really encourage you to do that. You can walk it, you can cycle it, you can drive it, or you could do one display a day up till Christmas. And at each point, you can download, there's a little link where you can download a video of different people, including our wise man, telling the story. It's well worth a watch. We've also collecting for our bags of hope that we're distributing to our community. The last day for giving donations to that really is Sunday. We are going to open the car park again between 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon for people to drop off donations. So if you get anything that you might like to give, Christmas treats that can go in bags to bless those who perhaps their Christmas is a bit tougher than ours, then do drop them off here or in the car park on Sunday, and we'll be baggaging them up next week. On this Sunday afternoon, our Light in the Darkness service goes live on YouTube, but you can watch it any time between Sunday and for the next few weeks. But that service is particularly a service for those who will find Christmas difficult this year, those people who have particularly lost loved ones and want to remember. We're reading out the names of peoples who we're remembering. But it's also for anyone who this year has been a really tough year for. Angela's been doing part of that service with me. So that will be available from Sunday on YouTube to watch at any time. And I really encourage you to just share that with other friends and family who might find that helpful. And if you're particularly remembering a loved one, what you might do is you might actually get your whole family in different places to watch it at the same time. Even though you're not together in person, you can be together watching it at the same time. And hopefully we pray that that will bring people comfort and peace in this difficult season. Other things we'll tell you a little bit more about next week, but lots more coming up. But I do encourage you to continue to dwell in this Advent season and not rush on to Christmas yet, and to dwell with God and allow God to meet you in just the normal things of life. And so let us say these final words as this final invitation to God to go with us into the world as we go from here. In our watching and our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. In our hopes and our fears, come, Lord Jesus. in our homes and in our world. Come, Lord Jesus. Come bless us and surprise us and send us out to live each day for you. Amen. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.